for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, November the 23rd, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on the armor of light.
We talked a little bit last night about some of the horrible things that are happening here in this world. And I just want to talk about a few of them, which is the bad news. Then I want to give you some good news. I'm not trying to scare you to death. Some of you say, well, you know, I don't want to hear it. I don't either. But you don't want to be like an ostrich that hides your head in the sand and gets hit from behind, do you? We need to press into God. And my prayer for this time is that God's going to use this message to cause us to quit playing church. Amen. And press into God to know Him in a greater way. Just some of the things that are bad news. In May of, I think in 2005, President Bush, who I voted for, passed a law that there'll be a real ID card by May 2008 if you get your driver's license. I think that's when they up it. And there'll be a chip in the card that will track you wherever you go. It'll have all of your information for your whole life on that card. Next thing you know, they're going to be saying, well, you'll lose the card, or some terrorist will get it, or they're having to track who's coming into this country, and you're going to have to put it in your hand or your forehead. And, of course, you know, the Word of God says we can't do that because anybody that does will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, to me, that's horrifying news. When I heard, first time I heard that, at first I got really mad about some of the things that are going on here in this world, because I want it to stay America the Beautiful. I can hear that song, America the Beautiful, now today and cry. And I used to, wouldn't make me cry. But I tell you that if certain people, any of the top tier candidates, and I'm not coming as a Democrat or Republican, I'm coming as a Christian. I voted for President Bush, but can I tell you, there's not a war on terror. If there was, the borders would be guarded. They would be protected. I heard Mike Huckabee say that he cannot even fly without putting his toothpaste in a little plastic baggie. But anyway, that's one of the things. It's called the Real ID Card. And that's just be a matter of time when they're going to be making all kinds of excuses about all the kidnappings and everything. And you want to keep track of your kids if they get just disappear with this chip in them. Nobody can steal it or take it, but they know where you are at all times. The next thing is the North American Union. President Bush has been meeting with the Prime Minister of Canada and with Mexican President to bring us into a North American Union. And in the one world government, the North America will be one region of the one world government. It will include Canada, United States, and Mexico. So that's why they're not protecting the borders. Another thing is just recently it passed the Council on Foreign Affairs. I think there was only 3 votes that were against the Law of the Sea Treaty, which President Bush is trying to pass. They tried to get Ronald Reagan to do it, and he said it's not for the best interest of the country. Bill Clinton tried to pass it through, and it didn't pass because we had a Republican Congress. And now President Bush, with the Democratic Congress, is trying to push it through, and it means that they'll give 70% of the world's ocean the authority. The authority that we have over the ocean will be given to the United Nations. So if President Bush does not give away the sovereignty of the United States before he leaves office, if one of the top-tier candidates, the Republican or Democrat, that includes all the Democrats, and the Republican side, it includes Rudy Giuliani, Thompson, Romney, and McCain, are all members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Their purpose is one world government. So the four candidates that are running for president who are not globalists, are not members of the Council on Foreign Relations, is Duncan Hunter, Tom Trunchetto, Ron Paul, and Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee has a chance if Christians pray and get behind him. And he could be lying to us, too. I don't know. But if everything that he says, and Glenn says that he was a wonderful governor of Arkansas, if everything he said is true, and I heard him in Washington, he is not your typical politician type. He's one of us. That's the way it appears. And he has a chance if we pray for him. The next thing is the NAFTA Carter. Or in Texas, it's called the Trans-Texas Carter. It begins at Mexico Port Lazaros Cardenas that is owned by China. It's a China port in Mexico that will be 4 football fields wide, will come from that Chinese-owned port straight up through the America's heartland, right into Canada. It'll be 4 football fields wide. And the first checkpoint to see what's in whatever container is in Kansas City. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard. When I first heard this, I just couldn't believe it. I called or emailed every governor in the United States. I mean, I just thought, I can't believe this. I emailed every person on Fox News that I thought was pretty good. I emailed every person on CNN, any person that, and never got one response back. You know why? Because the news media is owned by the one world government people, and the way they operate is in secrecy. And so, yes, it's already signed. The next thing is, the last time I looked on the internet, there was like 800 concentration camps here in America, empty and ready to be filled up with I don't know who. I don't know, in the last 4 or 5 years, I haven't seen it lately, but it was nothing to see all kinds of army and military and vehicles coming down the freeways and on the highways. And I noticed in the little town of Lindale, they never stopped. And I thought, well, maybe they don't stop because they don't speak English. So, I don't know. That's just on the shelf. But the word of hope is if the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Is that right? Yes. And so that means God orders your steps, and you can't be put anywhere that God doesn't put you, and he'll have a divine reason. Yes. A good example was Joseph. It says, and God was with Joseph. And can I tell you, God's with you? Those are comforting words to me. Because no matter what happens, if my steps are ordered by God, I will be protected in these last days. And I want to say, so many people I've shared this with, and they don't want to hear this one lady, and I love her so much. She said, I don't care about any of that. She said, I'm going to be on the first train out of here. I said, oh, I hope you're right, but I see that the tares go first. I hope you're right, but you know what? I'm going to live like you're wrong. And that damnable doctrine has caused the church to go to sleep.
Amen.
That and that doctrine that you can pray a prayer and you got your ticket punched. Can I tell you, there is a remnant that God has taken out of this big conglomeration of what calls himself Christian. Jesus said there are many called, but few chosen. There's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Some years back, I heard a prophet. If I named him, you'd know who he was. Since then, he's been caught in homosexuality and alcohol, an alcoholic. But he said in his prophecy that there's going to be 2/3 of the world that were going to come to Christ in this great revival. It's going to be that many that bow down to the Antichrist. It's just the opposite. And we have to, the Bible says we overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony, and we love not our life even to death. And Jesus said, if any man would come after me, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It says in Hebrews that if you're without God's discipline, you're illegitimate and you're not even His child. And so the ones that discipline themselves, allow God to discipline them, they will be the ones that will be walking in God's glory and God's holiness. And there's conditions to the good news. The good news is God says, put on the armor of light. And this really, this all started when Clemens started teaching on the glory. And the first two or three times I heard it, I didn't really get it. But then the Lord showed me the glory is the armor of light. And so there's conditions. And so the good news is in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, if you'll turn there, and I'm going to use a lot of scripture. And I'm not trying to scare anybody to death, but you know what? We need to be scared right into His presence. Amen. I have family members that don't want to hear this. And I'm saying, you know what? I love you enough to tell you the truth. God, get rid of the lukewarmness. God says, if you're not hot or cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you. He don't want you to be cold either. But He said, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth if you're lukewarm. Bishop Francis Whaley Oakey says that flies will only land on a cold stove. Amen? They won't get on a hot stove because they get fried. Okay, 3 verse 10 says, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, and that means to abide, to endure, to remain faithful, to hold fast, it means to let God purify you. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. Now, that's not talking about the rapture. And I don't really understand this fully, but I believe what the Lord is speaking to my heart. If I let God purify me now, then this testing in the Greek means a word God inflicting evils upon in order to prove His character, His steadfastness, faithfulness. And I believe there is a place of protection for God's children. Amen? The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And Satan is over this one world government system. And last night, Brother Bill was talking about the authority that we have. The Bible says in Proverbs that in Proverbs 16, if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And then Psalms 41:11 says, I know God is pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout triumph over me. And last night I was listening to Glenn. He talked about all the trials that he's had. I tell you, I've had so many trials that somebody once called me Miss Job, but I'm not. My husband left. My son died of AIDS. And my neighbor said, you just have so many problems. And I started praying, Lord, I'm so happy. Am I deceived? And then the Lord showed me here in, go to Proverbs, please, chapter 3. I was reading Proverbs to my granddaughter, and the Lord, because I was saying, God, am I deceived? She said, I have so many problems. God, I'm so happy. Is something wrong with me? Am I deceived? And this is the word that God gave me in Proverbs chapter 3. It's talking about wisdom in Proverbs chapter 3, and it says, her ways are pleasant ways. And I can say, you know, as bad as AIDS was, it took that to save that boy. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are paths of peace. So we know we're walking God's way when our paths are paths of peace. And like Glenn was talking last night about all the trials, but he's overcoming. He's overcoming. The Bible says the scepter of wickedness will not rest upon the land of the righteous. That means that we're going to go through trials, but we're not going to be overcome by them. We're going to overcome them. Right. Hallelujah. And I've got things that I'm overcoming, and you've got things you're overcoming, so let's start working on it. It's not pray a prayer and that's it. It means press into God. Okay, now Jesus, and really the title of the message today is The Armor of Light, which is the glory of God. Jesus said, He is the light of the world. Is that right?
Yes.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then he turned to his disciples, those that are the disciplined ones, the ones that receive his discipline. And he turned to them and he said, You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Hallelujah. He said, for a lamp is to be put on a lampstand. You're the light of the world. You're supposed to shine. Not to put a peck measure over it to block out the light. And the Lord showed me that that peck measure is, you know, in Hosea 10 when it says, break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord and sow with a view to righteousness. You know, everything you do, good or evil, you're sowing. And every seed you plant is coming up. Is that right? If you've got weeds in your garden, guess what? There's weed seeds. If you've got corn growing in your garden, there's corn. There was corn planted. So it says in Hosea, break up the fallow ground and sow with a view to righteousness. Now the word break up the fallow ground, it means make the land shine. That's what it means. Hallelujah. And so whenever we break up the fallow ground, guess what? The light shines through.
Amen.
As we do that.
Yes.
And it talks about Ephraim likes to tramp down his garden, but Jacob likes to plow, and Judah harrows. And then it says, I'm going to come upon Ephraim, which is a word for the church. I'm going to come upon her fair neck with a yoke. So we either wear the yoke of Jesus, or you've got the yoke of Ephraim, or you've got that iron yoke as a curse in Deuteronomy 28. And so Jesus said he's the light of the world, and he says we're to let our light shine. Go, if you will, to go to Matthew chapter 6, please. There's so much to this, and I don't claim to have it all, but I'm telling you, ever since I heard all this, I've been looking for every scripture I can find that gives me hope. Because I want to be prepared. I'm saying, Lord, show us what to do now to prepare for whatever you have. Don't let us be stupid. Don't let us be like sleeping virgins. Lord, wake us up. And he tells us, wake up, sleeper, and arise from the dead so that Christ can shine upon you. Is that what the word says?
Yes.
And you know, there were the foolish virgins who had no oil for their lamp, and they thought they were the bride of Christ. They were shocked. They had no oil for their lamp. Their lamp went out. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. It says that in verse 19, do not lay up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where the thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, for where the moth nor rust destroy, where the moth and rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. And that word clear means unadulterated. Means you have a dove's eyes in the Song of Solomon. It says your eyes, my darling, are like dove's eyes. A dove has no peripheral vision. They can't see on the side. They can only see straight ahead to their master Jesus. And so if our eye is clear, does it mean we're perfect? No, it means we're getting rid of the things as we see them. Thank God he didn't give us all of our mess at one time. We'd pass out. It's a process of overcoming. And so it says, if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light or the glory of the Lord. It says, the lamp of the body is eye. If therefore your eye is clear or single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness, which means toilsome. You're toiling after the things of this world. You know, if you look in a light, it blinds your eyes, doesn't it? A bright light, if you look in one of those big floodlights, you look in it, and I hope this works. But God says that we should put on the armor of light, because that light, you can't see what's behind it, can you? You get the enemy's eyes is blinded. You know, you've heard stories about Brother Andrew that would smuggle Bibles, and the soldiers would look right at the Bibles and couldn't see them. And so we'll be hidden in the cleft of the rock. It says if the eye is bad, the whole body is full of darkness. So that ties in with no idolater will enter the kingdom of heaven. We say, well, you know, we're in America. We don't have idols. Oh, my goodness. I heard Dr. Null's son talk about how at one time America was going to other countries to evangelize them. Hey, they're coming over to evangelize us.
Amen.
Now. I don't know if you've been in any Nigerian churches lately, but I'm telling you, you'll think you need to get saved being around those people. I'm hoping I learned to dance like them. I couldn't even dance when I was lost. I'm getting a little rhythm now with the good stuff. I went to a meeting of Nigerian pastors in Houston. There was about 300. And I'm telling you, there was a pastor in front of me. I think he had 5 joints in every joint. I said, boy, I tell you, that's going to be a good soul tie to know how to dance like those people. They are the happiest people. You know, when you come out of the poverty they live in and then come over here in America, you think you've died and went to heaven. The prosperity we have over here. We're just fat and lazy and asleep, and God, oh, have mercy on us. What is it going to take to wake us up? Oh, God, have mercy. I'm crying out for mercy. Mercy, Lord. Okay, go, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, the conditions of wearing this armor of light, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Now, love is the fulfillment of the New Testament. So for me to walk in love, I have to be patient, kind, never jealous, boastful, rude, never seek my own way, never act unbecomingly, never rejoice in a wrong suffered, forgive, and that love never fails. And that fulfills the New Covenant. And then you can read all of that, but let's go down to verse 5. For this you know... Well, let's go to 4. Let's go to 3. It says, but do not let immorality and sexual immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Do you know, either James Dobson or Henry Wright, recently I heard them say that 60% of people that call themselves believers shacking up, think nothing of shacking up. God says no adulterer, fornicator, thief, liar, homosexual, a reviler will enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't be deceived, brethren. You say, well, I prayed a prayer. Well, so what? Your walk proves what you're walking after. And there's many called, but few chosen. It says, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no sexually immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater will inherit the kingdom of God in Christ. Well, you say, well, I don't commit adultery and I'm not a homosexual. But you know why? We have idols in the body of Christ. Our idols is you've got to love me, you've got to notice me, you've got to communicate with me. Any place your mother and daddy failed in bringing you up, if you didn't take that to God, it became an idol in your heart. You've got to have it. You know it's an idol when you get angry when you don't get it. Or if you don't have it, you have a fear you'll never get it. Or if you get depressed. I've listened to some of this psychology garbage that you don't try to talk to a depressed person. You just keep the blinds down and keep it nice and dark in there. No. You get depressed because things don't work out the way you think they ought to be. And whenever you can say, God, I want it worked out the way you want it, depression will leave when you die to it. Jesus said, give up your life and you find it. Hold on to your life and you're going to lose it. If you want to find your life, you've got to give it up.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And if it was fun, it wouldn't be giving it up. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, if we're walking in obedience to the Lord, we won't come through the wrath of God. That's for those that don't make Jesus Lord. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for You were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So that kind of is not saying we have to be perfect. We're trying to learn. It's like we're a bunch of stumble bums trying to find what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. And do not be partakers with the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Verse 14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And this is the will of the Lord, His Word. You know, deliverance is James 4:7. Submit yourself to God, number one. Number two, resist the devil and he'll flee. He will not flee if you do not first give yourself to God.
Amen.
And if you've wondered why you never could get deliverance and you went to every deliverance minister all over the United States to get deliverance and never got deliverance, I can tell you, God's Word says that if you're rebellious, a cruel messenger is sent against you, Proverbs 17:11. A rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Amen? So until you repent, there is no deliverance until you repent. My son, who's my pastor, and he is the most godly man. I thank God. I had one that was acted so ungodly, and I had one from the time he was little. He was extra, extra good, and I had one that was extra, extra into sexual sin from the time he was three. And I can thank God for that boy, because had I not had him, I would have never had the prayer life that God gave me in praying for that boy's salvation. And I finally had to, at the end, and I tell you, I don't recommend, you make sure God's telling you this, but I finally, after 20 years, I turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh that his soul might be saved. A year later, he got AIDS. And I told him, when he was 24 years old, he came to our house and the stench of death was all over him. I mean, the smell of death. His whole life, if he was in a group of 2,000 people and I was blindfold, I could smell him. I mean, even, you know, he just had a distinctive body odor. And after he got AIDS, the first time I had tried to take him through deliverance before, but I told him a year before he got AIDS, I said, son, if you don't repent, you won't live past your 25th birthday. He died 3 days past his 25th birthday. I took him through deliverance, and I had done that, tried to do that many, many times until a person is ready. You can try to cast demons out from now on, and it won't work. But when he developed AIDS, I cast the spirit of death out of him. He had this gray-green look on him. And even when he was rotting, when he turned to God, even when he was rotting, and he literally rotted, there was no body odor because of that stench of death. And my son said, the other son, the one that has lived a godly life, this son was class favorite every year in a high school of 2000. And he was a virgin when he married. He didn't listen to music, bad music. He didn't drink. I mean, we told him to be home at 12 o'clock, and at 11:55, his car was coming around the driveway. We could hear it just like clockwork. And he said to me one day, Mother, why do you call this deliverance? It's just repentance. This gets back to James 4:7. Why do you call it deliverance? It's just repentance. And that's what it is. If you're not repentant, you can't cast the demons out. Last year I was in, or year before last, I was in Houston, and I was sitting behind some people that were trying to cast a demon out of a girl in front of me. And I was just minding my business, sitting there. They prayed for that girl for 2 hours. Still couldn't get the demons out. And I just, her friend came and sat down by me. I said, you know, she just has to repent of this and this. And she just needs it. The girl said, yeah, I'll go pray for her. I said, no, I don't want to. No, I'll go pray for her. I led the girl in repentance, and 2 minutes she was delivered. You see, if you've got the demons because of sin, violating this word opens you up to the powers of darkness. You have the hedges down. My friend Milton Green used to say, heads down, sick 'em. And I thank God for that man. God used that man in my life more than any other man. A humble carpet cleaner. In one meeting, I heard more in one meeting than I did 25 years in the Baptist church. And so I attended 55 of his meetings. Every meeting he taught in the Dallas area, I attended. People say, well, why do you want, he says the same thing every time. Why do you want to keep going? I said, every time I go, there's another piece to the puzzle. He taught me the types and shadows of the Word of God. And I thank God for him. And I thank God that we'll see him again. And I'll see my son again. My son was baptized in the Holy Spirit a month before he died. And I don't know if you ever heard of Cullen Davis, the guy that supposedly, I don't know if he did or he didn't. But when Cullen heard that my son had AIDS, he came every week from Grapevine to East Texas and ministered to him. And he said one day, he said, Todd, if you could live or die, which would it be? And Todd said, I'd just rather go on to be with Jesus. I said, son, you just don't want to, that's pride. You just don't want to live in your emaciated body. And he said, I just want to go be with Jesus. And Cullen said, well, what if God wanted you to live? And my son said, well, then I'd live. They asked him on his deathbed if he could have one thing, what would it be? He didn't say, I want to get healed. He said, salvation is enough. When he was 25, I was really hard toward him. He was in New York City. And he was coming to come home, and I didn't even want him to come home. I mean, I just thought, I've just had enough of this boy. And on the phone, he said, Mom, I'm sorry you feel like a failure because of me. He said, Mom, I've tried to change, and it's just too hard. And I tell you, it broke my heart. From that time, I decided that I was just going to love him because he heard every scripture. I mean, he was baptized 3 times in the church. I kept saying, you're not saved. You need to get saved. And it took this dreaded, horrible disease for him to be saved. And when he was dying, the Lord, after he died, the Lord gave me this song. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Well, it was a song that the Lord gave me, and I can't even think of it right now, so I guess the Lord don't want me to say it. Saints gathered at His throne, sounding glory, hallelujah. I bow before Your throne. But it had to do with Todd being one of those saints. Recently, you know, I tried for 15 years to have a Todd's house on a farm. And I tell you, tried to take in homeless. I promised him before he died that I'd have a place, and I would call it Todd's House for people like him. He said, oh, Mom, you're going to be so busy. And anyway, I tried for, I said 15 years, for 10 years to have it in Texas, and it never worked. I guess it was for my education. And so I just finally, I sold the farm to my son, closed all of that down, and realized that it took, you know, growing up in a sheltered life, I didn't understand about prostitutes. I didn't understand about drug addicts. I didn't understand about mentally ill. So in those years, God taught me how to help those kind of people. Some of them are helped. Some of them are not. I ran into one the other day at Walmart, and he said, aren't you Jerry McGee? And I said, yes. He said, you know who I am? And I said, no. He said, I'm Joey. This guy had an earring wherever you could put one. And it was the wildest. He said, you kicked me off the farm. He said, I wasn't saved then, but he said, because of what God showed me through you, I'm walking with God now. I had married him and his wife because they both lived out there. I said, you know what? I'll marry you, but you're not going to shack up on this property. And so then I married them, and now they're back together and all that. But I had tried for 10 years to help people here in America, and I found Americans, for the most part, that are homeless, are full of rebellion. They don't want to do right. They're busy looking for their crack and their alcohol and their drugs and lazy. And I just, you know, it was just a season. And so I've been winning these internet scammers to the Lord. I get about 15 or 20 scam letters every day, and it takes me about an hour to answer all of them. But anyway, I thought, you know, my ministry is, you know, delivering people that are already saved. I need to evangelize. And I thought, what better way is to just give them the plan of salvation and tell them if they don't quit stealing and lying, they're going to go to hell. And I send out so many every day. I have like a farm letter, and I just methodically do this. And I accidentally sent one to a friend of mine in Kentucky the other day. And I emailed him back, and I said, "Oops, I'm sorry, I sent you that by mistake." He said, "Never mind, I've already gotten saved." But anyway, out of about 2,000, I've had about 30 come to the Lord. To make a long story short, this one young man that was sleeping on the street, and I was sending him a little food money. Over there, the average income is $100 to $120 a month. So $30 is a lot to send him for food. And he was living on the street, and I asked how much an apartment would cost. And he said, "It's $80 a month for 6 months." And I thought, $480, you know, I don't feel like I have that right now. And so I just kind of pushed it aside because I wasn't sure he was for real. Anyway, a long story short, he got picked up on the street bleeding and taken to a hospital there. And in that hospital, the doctor that was taking care of him found my name in his Bible. And so I thought he was trying to scam me too, so I just wrote him a real cold letter back because I thought he's just faking, he's a scammer too, and this guy really hadn't repented. Then he sent me a cold letter back telling me how cold-hearted I was. So anyway, to make a long story short, he became a friend, and then I realized that he said that this young man, after he got well, witnessed to everybody in the hospital. Over there, you can pray for the patients. Over here, you might do it selectively, but you don't go from room to room praying for people. So when I realized he was for real, my sister and I went together, and we rented him a room because he was sleeping on the street for 6 months. And this doctor went to see him, and he said, "Isaiah, how are you gonna pay your water bill and your light bill?" And he said, "I don't know." The doctor said, "You bring me your bill, and I'll pay your water bill and your light bill every month." So I met Dr. Cassie. And then about a week later, I led another young man to the Lord, and he had a 12-year-old sister. And he said, "When I quit scamming, the big scammer will throw me out, and we have no food for my little sister." Well, it happened to be in the same city Isaiah was in. And so I sent him to Isaiah. Isaiah shared what little food he had, told him if he was repentant, he would take care of him, that he could live with them. So then there was three in one room. So I was praying one morning, and the Lord said, "Todd's house has moved to Africa." And they call it Todd's house. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And the Lord said, he said, "What you started here in the United States," he said, "your heart was right. You were trying to do good. But," he said, "you had so much to learn." He said, "It was just a work of your flesh." He said, "This is a work of my spirit." So now there's two rooms, and there's six people in two rooms, and the landlord said, "Can't put no more in there. These are other scammers." It seems really strange. Not strange, but they're all in the same town, most of them. So anyway, God's going to expand Todd's house, and now they have Todd's Ware. We've set them up in a little business where they can make a living and be self-sufficient. Henry, the last one that went in there, he said, "Thank you for telling me about your son Isaiah, because the Lord said I'm going to give you houses, lands, children, with persecution." And he said, "And thank you for sending me to Todd's house." He said, "I have never been so happy in my life." Six people living in two little rooms. Anyway, that's a sidetrack, but anyway, that's something close to my heart. Okay, go if you will to Job 28. We're talking about walking in wisdom. The whole chapter 28 is talking about God's wisdom. In verse 1 it says, "Surely there is a mine for silver and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken from the dust, and from rock copper is smelted." Anyway, it just describes wisdom. In verse 6, "Its rocks are the source of sapphires, and its dust contains gold." Now this is what I want you to see. This path of wisdom no bird of prey knows. Now the birds of the air are types and shadows of the powers of darkness. You know, in the parable of the sower, when the bird comes and steals the seed, and then Jesus explained it and said that Satan comes and gets the seed. And King James says, "There's a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen." So when we're walking the way of wisdom, no demon in hell knows where we are. Hallelujah. Satan and his demons, they only see what God lets them see. Okay, it says verse 12, but where can wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says it's not with me, and the sea says it's not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighted at its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystals are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from, and where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from all the eyes of the living, and it's concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and death say, with our ears we've heard a report of it. In other words, the devil and the demons cannot find the way of wisdom. They've heard a report of it. It says, God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, now this is it, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. You know, the Bible says that Job was the most righteous man that lived upon the earth. And it wasn't because he was sinless, because if you read the book of Job, you see sin all through it. You see bitterness. He said, he's loosed his bowstrings upon me. He never once blamed the devil for anything. You know, today we're just blaming the devil's attacking me. The devil can't do nothing to you that God doesn't let him do. And if he lets him do something, he's trying to teach you something that you wouldn't even know you had a problem if he wasn't attacking you. So you need to close the hedge.
Amen.
Okay, go to Romans, please. Now I want to talk about how you have on the conditions of having the armor of light on. Go to Romans chapter 13, verse 12. It says that the night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and number two, put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness. And you know, I haven't been drunk with alcohol maybe one time or two times in my whole life before I was a Christian. But I've been drunk on food a whole bunch. You know, that's just, and let me tell you, prescription drugs make you drunk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And if you're taking prescription drugs, please know I'm not condemning you, but what I'm telling you is, as you get delivered and as you repent, you won't need them anymore. And God tells you about psychology. See to it no one takes you captive by the philosophies of the world, by the elemental principles of the world rather than Christ. They're putting little children on psychiatric medicines nowadays. I read the other day where a little girl, 5 years old or 4 years old, died from an overdose of psychiatric medicine, poisoned her body. You never hear anything about the psychiatrist going to jail for that. And I don't know what's going to happen if we have Hillary in and she has mandatory health care. God, show us what to do. We just declare that she's not getting in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, look at it says in verse 13, let us behave properly as in the day and not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. In this report that I said, 60% of believers think nothing of shacking up. 40% think nothing of social drinking. And 30% think nothing of recreational drugs. Now, there's something wrong with that picture because repentance is not taught in churches today. That's why I love Lake Hamilton. Because the word that goes forth from here is a word that'll change your life. Amen? And Lord, we pray that you bless Glenn. We thank you that you're healing his throat. Amen. It's better every time I hear him. And thank you, Lord. Okay, so the condition for us wearing the armor of light is to lay aside the deeds of darkness and make no provision for the flesh. Is that what the Word says?
Yeah.
Okay, now go to Isaiah 35, and it talks about a highway of holiness. Isn't it interesting that the Word of God talks about a highway when we're battling this transtexus, this snaft-a-carter, 4 football fields wide? God has given us an alternate route. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. There's another way to walk. I love this scripture. It says, and a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it. So that means no pervert's going to get on it. Will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, the highway of holiness. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And so you have to confess your sins. It says, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. So if a fool can't get on it, an unclean person can't get on it, no lion means no demon can get on it. That means that you don't have to worry about terrorism. You don't have to worry about some evil person kidnapping you. And unclean means when we don't confess our sins, we're unclean. So we need to stay confessed up. Miss Bertha Smith, an old lady that was in the Shantung Revival, she said you need to be prayed up, confessed up. Moment to moment. Okay, I want to read some scriptures about this highway. Psalms 27:11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Proverbs says, the righteousness of the blameless will smooth their way. Every time I get on an airplane, you know, there's always there could be turbulence. There has not been turbulence on an airplane I've been on for years, because when I get on, I say, Lord, you said that my blameless, walking blamelessly before you will smooth my way. And if it starts getting a little like this, I start praying and it just smooths out. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? A Christian owns an airplane. Because the minute you set foot, and I say the minute I set foot on this plane, every demon and every person in here is bound in Jesus' name. Huh? That's right. Amen. We possess the land. Every place we put our foot is ours in Christ. But there's conditions. You don't get the armor of light by walking in sin. And I'm not talking about being perfect, because we're all sinners. God says if anybody says he's not a sinner, he's a liar. There's always something that God wants to show you by everything you go through. You can be prayed up and confessed up, and I've learned when I have a problem, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? Because he's so smart. He loves to teach us. Okay? Psalms 119 says, make me walk in the path of thy commandments, for I delight in it. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Proverbs 4:14, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the day. You know, the more you repent, the brighter you get. And that's what it means to be changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. Proverbs 4:26, watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Proverbs 5:6, talking about the harlot, she does not ponder the way of life. Her ways are stable. She doesn't know it. And the harlot is about 80% of what calls themselves Christian, because if I'm praying a prayer to receive Jesus as my Savior and then my heart goes after another lover, I am a spiritual harlot. I'm an adulteress. Proverbs 10:17, it says, he's on the path of life who heeds instruction. Are you a person that won't receive correction? I know there's people in my family that you just don't correct some of them. They correct you. You don't have to listen, though. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who forsakes reproof goes astray. Proverbs 15:19, the way of a sluggard is a hedge of thorns. Now get this, but the path of the upright is a highway. Hallelujah. And I love this one, Proverbs 16:17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. every time you depart from evil, you're on the highway. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26, it says, the way of the righteous is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. It gets level when you learn what he's trying to teach you through your trials. How many of you know that your trials are used by God to purify you?
Amen.
And if you don't let those trials purify you, that's where a root of bitterness comes in. You either get bitter or better. And I've had a lot of trials, and I tell you, I choose better. I don't want bitter. Bitterness will kill you. It's like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. Jeremiah 18:15, for my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they stumble from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway. Jeremiah 31:21, set up for yourself road marks, place for yourself guideposts, direct your mind to the highway, the way by which you went. Return, O Virgin of Israel, return. Hallelujah. Now, Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. And that's another way of saying that you're walking the narrow way on the highway of holiness, having on the armor of light. The enemy cannot get to you. Psalms 41:11, by this I know that thou favorest me because mine enemy does not triumph over me. Doesn't mean it doesn't come against you, but he won't triumph. And we ought to be excited about these days. I'm not too excited yet, I have to admit. I'm still looking for words that will make me excited. Hallelujah. It says, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. So if you're not in God's refuge here, you're in some other refuge. And you know, we make refuges out of denial, alcohol, acceptance, food, sex, self, money, work, drugs, possessions, sleep, performance, family. That's just a few things that we trust. You know you've made a refuge out of it when you're afraid of giving it up. It says in Isaiah 28, because you've said we've made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we've made a pact. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by, for we've made falsehood our refuge, and we've concealed ourselves with deception. You know, that's a picture of being in Christ. That's a picture of Noah and his ark. You know, Noah means rest. Did you know that? The word Noah means rest. And how do you and I as Christians have that rest? Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble. And you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. In Deuteronomy 28, it says that unrest is a curse. And it's a curse because God gives you his yoke to wear. Wearing any other yoke brings about unrest. And another place, God says he's the potter and you're the clay. What's the clay do? One thing, rest on the potter's wheel. The potter does the work. He takes the junk out of you. He turns the potter's wheel. He adds water to make the clay pliable. And he fashions you into the vessel that he foreordained for you to be. But you got to get on the potter's wheel. If you stay submitted and just keep on yielding your life to him, we're not talking about being perfect. Just keep on yielding. See, like it says, that Job was the most righteous man that lived upon the earth because he feared God and he turned away from evil. So as you're walking along in the fear of the Lord, you see sin and you turn from it. You see sin and you turn from it. You see sin and you turn from it. And as you do that, you're coming under the yoke of Jesus, which brings rest in your life. He will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed upon him. Now, when you make something else a refuge, it's a boat that won't float because it's got holes in it, and it'll sink. Amen? So, we need to get in God's place, in his secret place. The secrets of the Lord are for those that fear him. There's a scripture that says, and I didn't have my concordance out, I bet you Clement could tell me, but it says, "Arise and shine, for the light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon me." 61. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Hallelujah. So what I want you to do is I want you to stand up and I want you to ask the Lord to show you any place that you need to repent. You're trying to forgive. Let me just say this. If you're trying to forgive and can't, how many of you said, "I forgive so-and-so," because it's a choice, and then it just comes back a week later, a day later, an hour later? Because it's a heart issue. It's a mother and daddy. It's revealing an unresolved childhood issue. You're trying to deal with the present, and God is telling you to go to the heart of the doorway. And when you go to the doorway, you'll forgive. I had lunch with somebody one day, and we had a disagreement. She said she was sorry. I said I was sorry the next day. I was still arguing with her in my head. I said, "I forgive you." I said, "Lord," she said she's sorry, and I said, "I was sorry. Why can't I get over this?" And God said, "She's reminding you of some issues with your mother that you haven't forgiven." Well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. The Lord said, "Forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her." So, I forgot about my mother, but this turkey in my face was showing me what my mother did that I hadn't forgiven her for. People mirror what God's trying to change in you and me. Amen? So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to show me what I need to do to walk in your Shekinah glory, to walk on the King's highway. Lord, I ask for the truth that makes me free. In Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for everything you've shown me. I forgive my mother and father for everything that I had not forgiven them for, that you've been trying to show me through the turkeys in my face. Thank you for letting people mirror what you're wanting to fix in me. Forgive me for not being an imitator of God. Forgive me for not walking in love. Forgive me for not denying myself and taking up your cross and following you. Forgive me for being afraid of what's going on in the world. Lord, you said that men's hearts could fail them because of fear. And Lord, I choose to fear not. Thank you for the authority that you've given me. As I yield my members to you as instruments of righteousness. Lord, thank you that I am saved by grace. But grace is no license to sin. Forgive me, Lord, for being passive and asleep and lazy and refusing your discipline. Forgive me for sexual immorality and impurity and greed and silliness, coarse jesting, filthiness. God, forgive me for idolatry, being covetous. God, forgive me for not walking as a child of light. Forgive me that my eye has not been clear. I have been toiling after idols, wanting people to love me and accept me, wanting money, wanting to be loved, and all the things that have made me mad. It's all idolatry. And Lord, I choose to give up my life that I might find it. Lord, forgive me for not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, so that I could abide under your shadow and your protection. Lord, forgive me for not walking the path of your commandments. Forgive me for entering the path of the wicked and proceeding in the way of evil men. God, I want my path to be like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. I thank you that as I submit to you, you will change me from glory to glory to glory. Thank you that as you are, so am I in the world. Thank you that because as you are, so am I, that I am love and I am joy and I am peace and I am long-suffering and I am gentleness and I am goodness and I am faith and I am meekness and I have self-control. And Lord, thank you that your shadow overshadows me. And because of your shadow of the Almighty, every person around me gets changed. Not because of me, but because you're overshadowing me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, forgive me for being a spiritual adulterer, a spiritual harlot, loving other things more than my bridegroom Jesus. Forgive me for not watching the path of my feet so you can establish my ways. Forgive me for not heeding instruction so I can be on the path of life. Forgive me for forsaking reproof that has caused me to go astray. Forgive me for being a sluggard and having a hedge of thorns on my way. Lord, make my path level and remind me when evil is there to turn from it so that I can preserve my life. Thank you, Lord, for the highway of holiness. Thank you for the alternate route to the NAFTA Carter. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Lord, I break soul ties with every person I've sinned with or sinned against or who sinned against me. And Lord, I forgive every person who has hurt me or who I ask you to forgive me for hurting others. In Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Now I want you to get a partner, and I want you to jerk him on the highway of holiness. Lord, I jerk him on the highway of holiness. Hallelujah! Come on, don't let your pride keep you from getting there. Did you get jerked? Oh, praise God. Jerk me on the potter's wheel. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Praise you, Lord. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of a lamb. Power, power, wonder-working power. The precious blood of a lamb. Okay, Lord, fill me. With love, joy, peace.
Love, joy, peace.
Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Faith, meekness. And self-control. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food. Bless every person preparing it. Every hand that has done anything in this camp that's cleaned or cooked. are worked, are fixed. We pray a bountiful blessing upon them. And Lord, we just pray, we bless Glenn with a long, 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 longer life in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food. We ask you to purify it and sanctify it and bless it. And Lord, help us have ears to hear to go to the end of the table and not the front.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.